Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
York Daily Record, one of the best in the business, and that is Frank Bodani. Frank, welcome back. It is great to hear you again.
Yeah, Steve, what a great Friday. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
After everything that has happened with realignment and NIL issues and transfer portals, how excited are you that 2 weeks from tomorrow, Penn State's playing football?
My gosh, yeah, because we've been talking about it for 8 months. So finally we get to do more than just talk about what can happen and what we think may happen. But imagine the players who've been going at this against each other and in weight rooms for how many months. I mean, finally they get a chance to do it against another team, especially with this year. I mean, when's the last time the expectations were quite the same, you know?
Well, no, exactly. I mean, I've got to go back. Now, I made 17 had expectations to it. I had a lot of expectations in 17 after the 16 season. But when you look at the expectations of this team, what do you lean on experience-wise? Because you've covered teams that have had great expectations before. So what do you lean on experience-wise to give fans perspective on those expectations?
Sure. I think first is the star power, right? So I can think right off the top of my head, six guys who, to me, are legit All-American candidates just right off the bat. So that's more than what they've typically had. But it's then the depth. So this is by far, you combine that star power and depth. This is James Franklin's best roster to me, hands down. And I think, you know, if you say Penn State's best roster overall since when, well, then you really start, then there's a real good debate and you're going back even further. So to me, it's not just about, okay, you have some returning guys that are great players, or you have this position that looks, it's the whole picture there. They've got the foundation now, and they've got the stars, I think, that kind of talent, and they have the depth when things don't go quite right, which is always going to happen. It's all of that together that makes this team, to me, more bulletproof.
All right, and then I remember, let's go way back, 1994. Penn State has the undefeated season. They're blowing people out. They lead USC 35-0 at halftime. They beat Ohio State 63-14. But Joe Paterno kept saying, he says, I won't know about this team until they face adversity, which then they then faced against Illinois. Is that when we'll find out about this team, when they face some adversity?
Oh, and I think absolutely so. And I think you look at the beginning of the schedule. So I'm looking at Illinois and Iowa. You know, those two teams may not have, like, the roster we just talked about, but they play great defense. They're gonna give Penn State big-time punches. How does Penn State react? Because you know what? No matter all of the talent we just mentioned, I mean, for starters, Penn State has a new quarterback who's never been a starter before. They have a new quarterback-receiver combination that's never played that type of minutes before. There's going to be some things that don't go right. How does Penn State, how does this team react to it? And I think you're right, because I also remember that 94 team went to Michigan pretty early on, and that was a back-and-forth game the whole way, and they had to be the team that made the plays in the end. And I mean, that's what you're looking for to me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Kerry Collins to Bobby Engram for the touchdown that put him in front. Brian Miller made the big fumble recovery at the end. And when you watch the quarterback spot in the first couple of games of the season, what will you be looking for at quarterback?
Maybe that so-called unqualified observation of, does he look comfortable? Does he look like things, the decision-making process is smooth, so to speak? He doesn't look rattled. The feet aren't dancing around. He's not throwing off the back foot. He's not, you know, he's looking like he's done this before. Now, having said that, Drew Aller looked like he did this before in his very first college game, of course, against Purdue, which might have the best thing you could have seen, a guy that comes off cold as a rookie and goes in there and looks like he's done this before and threw one of the best passes of the entire Penn State season in his few moments. So maybe that part has been won over to some degree already. I guess we don't know until we see more. And I don't know if the first two games are even going to be the real test. I just keep coming back. I'm real interested to see when the team goes to Illinois on the road, third game of the year, early start, you know, just what that's about. That's the exciting part is step by step, you know.
There will always be questions about almost every team going into a season that can only be answered in games. Early in this season, let's take the first month, what questions are you sitting there asking yourself that you would like to get an answer to before the month of September's out?
I think what the receiver group as a whole really looks like. You know, you're going to be looking at individuals, but I want to see what that whole, like the feel of that entire unit. There seems like there's 6-7 guys that all have talents, but we don't really seem to know who really looks like a number one, or do they have more than one or two guys? I mean, that's right there. I think, obviously, Drew Aller, you have expectations and you know what you're thinking, but you got to see it. I think defensive tackle, I think they'll be fine there, but it's still, you know, what's a guy like Hakeem Beamon going to be like? We've heard about a guy like him for several years. He's put on weight. You hear these great things. What's that going to look like? And then lastly, I think the right side of the offensive line. Had an interesting point. So if you could, a question with another Penn State fan. If you could pick one thing out of these three that you most wanted, you could only get one of them, what would it be? A great receiver develop, a great defensive tackle, or a great right tackle? Okay? I think I might take the right tackle. Mm-hmm. Because of the impact of the team. If Caden Wallace could live into that potential and play really well, all Big Ten level, and you have both sides of that offensive line, what does that do? What does that do for not just your offense, but your whole team?
Yeah. So when you look at the conference, realignment's going to do something, and I want to get into this for a moment. I was talking last night in Hershey, and I said, look, I said, the bottom line is for Mick Cronin, Chip Kelly, Andy Enfield, Lincoln Riley, Dana Altman, Dan Lanning, Kalen DeBoer, and Mike Hopkins, their jobs starting next year all got exponentially more difficult. But at the same time, for James Franklin and Mike Rhodes and everybody else in the Big Ten, their jobs got more difficult. So it's going to be a 1-18 deal in all probability. So let me ask you something. Even in the 12-team playoff, is finishing eighth good?
Eighth in the league, or what are you talking about?
Eighth in the league. Is finishing eighth in the league good out of an 18-team league?
I don't think finishing – I don't know. The sound of finishing eighth in anything doesn't sound like what you would want, right?
That's my point.
Right. I mean, but – so, you know, right now Penn State is ranked 7th, but a lot of people think they're only the third best team in their own division. So right. It's all about, I guess, the circumstance, right?
Yeah.
I think Penn State, you know, 8th, no, 8th is not good enough. But I understand your point.
Yeah, I mean, but in other words, you have all these coaches that are always trying to somehow, look, everybody's trying to keep their job, right? Right. Well, Is finishing 7, 8, 9, 10 in your league good? All right. It's because if you're in a division, the worst you're going to finish is 9th.
Well, if the first 6 teams are all ranked in the top 20, maybe it is pretty good.
Maybe, yeah. And especially when you can get maybe as many as 4 teams into the college football playoff, yes.
Yeah, that's the key. I think of 12 teams, you could get 4 in. Right, I mean, that would be kind of a benchmark possibility, and then all of a sudden, you know, 4 out of 18. I mean, you got your shot there, though. That you're right. That's still not enough. Is that better? It's going to be harder in some ways. I mean, easier. People talk about Penn State fans like it's going to be easier when you get the 12 team in. I guess you look at it maybe beyond the league, though, right?
I mean, because if you finish eighth in basketball, right, because basketball doesn't have divisions, you still get into the NCAA tournament. Penn State finished, right, 10th.
Right.
Last year and made it to the NCAAs. So you can do it. So it's okay there. This is a little different ball game.
Yeah, I guess maybe how's the schedule going to be different? Because,
you're right.
I mean, is next year's Penn State home schedule one of their best home schedules because you have Ohio State and USC at home? I mean,
does it stay that way? Because they have to obviously mix in Oregon and Washington someplace.
Right.
That's the part that becomes interesting. All these deep-seated questions we'll answer as time goes. Frank and I can only answer so many to this point. Frank,
absolutely.
It is always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Looking forward to seeing you, my friend.
September 2nd, I'll be here very soon. Thank you, Steve. Look forward to it, too.